Today, Shir Masech Vav Tzi Da Vav, we will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Vav Oman Aleph, the Tapet Amid Elohol. In our previous Shir, the Gemara had discussed the concept of Migi the Choshev and Moin HaChosher HaShvuasov. And the question is that acceptable halacha? Meaning, do we say that if somebody is accused that he will not be honest in his financial dealing, we also have to be concerned that he will make a false shvuah. Says the Gemara, we learned this in our previous shur. If somebody claims that I owe him money, and I say don't, the halacha is you make a shvuah heses. Now the question is, why would Chazal have instituted a shvuah hesed? Name of why wouldn't they say if this is a person that we're concerned is being dishonest and he's not paying what he has to pay, we should also be concerned that he's going to swear falsely. So we see from here, just because a person is accused that he's being dishonest regarding the money he owes does not necessarily mean that he's going to make a false shvuah. And then the Gemara brings the sue. The Gemara brings another raya. Mahadatani, a Gemara that we discussed quite extensively at the beginning of our Masechta. And that is, if somebody has employees and he needs to pay them, and he tells the Tchenveni, the storekeeper, the general storekeeper, pay them and I'll pay you back. And now, both of them come and claim, the Tchenveni says, I laid out the money and you never paid me, and you owe me the money. And the worker said, we never received the money. So we learned that the halacha is that shneim nishbam, that both the chenveni and the employee swear, shneim nishbam, they both swear v'noitlin, v'balabayis, and then they'll be able to collect from the owner. And the question is, neimer, obviously there's someone who's being dishonest, and because either the workers did already get paid, or either the chenveni already paid them. Yet, why don't we say, why should we allow them to make a shvuah? Why should we not say, migi de choshem amayna, if we can't trust them regarding the financial, they're saying that there's somebody who's cheating, so to speak, here, migi de choshem amayna, chad shvuasa. Vesu, another raya, we've learned many times, by a shomer, mahadam rav sheshes. If a shomer chinam claims that the object that he was asked to watch was stolen, so the halacha Rav Sheshes teaches us is shloisha shvuos mashbin aysai. We make him swear three different shvuos. Shvuos shlo pishati bay, he makes a shvuah that I wasn't negligent and it wasn't stolen because of my negligence. Shvuos shlo shlachti bayad, he makes a shvuah that I didn't take it for myself. And shvuos shenim b'shusi, and he makes a shvuah that I don't have it. And again, ask the Gemara, namely, if we're concerned that this person just took it for himself, why don't we say, migi de choshev memoina, choshev osa, we can't trust him that he's not saying something that's not true. Why don't we say, migi de choshev memoina, choshev osa. Ella, from here we see very clearly the loya meaning that the halacha does not subscribe to this, and we don't say migi de choshev memoina just because he was quiet, just because we're accusing that he's stealing, that he's choshev shvuasa. There, Cheshukei Chemet discusses a very interesting episode where there was somebody had an employee who was stealing from him. There was no question that he was stealing from him. And what happened, however, was he was a very good employee. And the question was that he wants to keep him, even though he knows that this employee is doing something very wrong. He's stealing, and holding on to him will mean that he's going to continue stealing. He says, it's worth it for me even to absorb the loss that my employee is stealing, because I'm never going to find such a good employee. So the question now is, why is he allowed to hold on to him? Because what we need to be concerned, he says, is the issue of lifnei ivel esite mechshol. By you holding on to him, you're creating an environment where he could steal. And there's a Gemara Masechta Kedushin we learned, the Aflam and Beis Oman Aleph, where the Gemara says that Rav Kahuna was ripping up clothing, silk, expensive clothing, in front of Rabbi, his son. He wanted to test him, will Rabbi lose his temper? Will he get upset? And the Gemara asks that, why was he allowed to do this? Why isn't there no issue of lifnei ivel esite mechshol? So Gemara says that the machle liyikrei, he was meichel, that if he'll get upset, he was meichel up front. And Tosfos says that not only was he obligated to be meichel, he had to notify him that even if you're going to get upset, I'm not, even if you do something like that, I'm meichel you up front. Otherwise, he would be violating lifnei ivel esite mechshol for creating a situation that this person will be upset, unacceptable. So here too, what will be the halacha if I keep this employee and I know that this employee is going to steal? Why is it not going to be considered lifnei ivel esite mechshol? So he says, well, what I'll do is I'll say upfront that I'm meichel whatever he steals. But again, based on what Tosfos says, that I have to notify him, and obviously that's not what's going to happen, so it's still lifnei ivel, even if I said that I don't mind if he takes the money. So he says that you're allowed to keep on using him. Because my goal, it's the Gemara over there in Masechta Kedushin, was to test him. And by testing him, if he'll fail the test, you are over lifnei ivel. Here, I'm not looking to test him. What I'm looking to do is have him as a worker. And since I have him as a worker, if one of the what happens because of him being my worker is that he steals from me, my goal wasn't to set up a situation that he's going to steal. In every situation in life, things could come up that I, by doing something, cause somebody to do an Avera. But if my purpose here was not to make him do an Avera, my purpose here was to have him as an employee, and he on his own, Rachman Litzlan, is stealing, that would not be considered lifnei ivel. But then the question is, what will be the halacha regarding this worker? We're learning now, Miga de Chasham Amainai, Chasher Ashu Asai. So this person is clearly a thief. Can he be trusted? We don't have Shvua, but can he be trusted to be an aide? And the question really is that, of course, if I'm not Meichel what he stole from me, then he's a thief. And as we've been learning in our Shurim, a thief is disqualified from being an aide. But what will be the halacha if I was Meichel him? But he doesn't know I was Meichel him. So as far as he's concerned, he was doing an Avera. The fact is that I was Meichel. And the Gemara often speaks about the halacha of somebody, Niskaven Lechel Basa Chazir, somebody thought he's eating something which is not kosher, Vola B'yada Basa Tleh, he still needs a kapara. So here too, even though he actually hasn't done an Avera because I was Meichel, but at the end of the day, in his mind, he did an Avera. And he quotes the Sefer Agos Imrei Baruch on the Gilyon Shulchan Aruch in Simel Lamed Aleph Sif Zayin that says that tshuva is a necessary component. And therefore, since tshuva is not a necessary component, then the halacha is that he didn't do tshuva because he doesn't know that I was Meichel. He's puzzled to be an aide. On the other hand, he quotes the Igros Moshe, Yoridei Chelik Beis Simen Vav, that says that if at the end of the day, this person has actually not done an Avera, not because he didn't want to do an Avera, he just didn't do an Avera because he didn't do an Avera, says Rav Moshe, that you only become possible for an Eidus if you actually did an Avera. And if in actuality you did not do an Aveira, then the halacha will be that you're still going to be considered a kosher eid. Continues the Gemara. Abaya Amar. Abaya continues in saying that actually somebody that's kosher al mamon is kosher al shvua. And therefore, if we have two people who are holding on to the talis, if we indeed are concerned that one of them took the talis improperly, then we would not allow him to make a shvua. Chayshinen, shema mevel yeshloi. So if that's the case, then we're not accusing them of having done anything wrong. Why does the Mishnah make them swear? Because there's a new consideration. This person, I know that somebody owes me money, but I know that he forgot about that loan. And I know that if I'm going to ask him for the money he owes me, he's going to deny it. So what I do is, I take his talis or part of his talis from him. Like that, I assume that I'm going to be able to recoup my money. Ihochi, says the Gemara, if that's the consideration, nishkol b'loy shvua. So we could let him take it without a shvua. He's not doing anything wrong. Elo, says the Gemara, we have to modify what Abaye said. Chashin Hashemes sofik milva yeshna alof. It's not certain that he owes me the money. It is a question. And therefore, he takes the talis, asks the Gemara, v'lava minon, tapas m'monim esfekei, b'shtab b'namim esfekei. Somebody who takes the money that he doesn't know he owes should also have to swear. On Rav Shesh, b'rei d'Rav Eidi, parash inshim esfek shvua. People will not make a shvua. People are very reluctant to make a shvua. And unless they know for sure that they won't make a shvua. However, when it comes to taking money that they're not 100% certain if they're entitled to, v'lo parash misafik m'moina. My tama, why are people more lenient in that? Why are people less concerned about taking money that they're maybe not deserving versus making a shvua regarding something that they're not deserving? Very simple, says the Gemara. Maman isa b'chazorei. You could always give back what you don't. If you took money and then you discovered that you didn't deserve it, you could always give it back. Shvua, but by shvua, once it's made, it's always there, less of a chazara. By Rav Zeira, says the Gemara, two people are holding on to a talis, the tafsa echa b'faneinu, and one of them has now the entire talis. And this is, so when we're standing now, is that although it started off with two people holding on to the talis, right now there's only one person holding the talis. And they have not yet made the shvua. And now the question is, mahu? What will be the halacha in this case? Heichidami. So says the Gemara, let's try to analyze what happened here. Either shasak, if both of us were holding on to the talis, and then one of them took full control of the talis, and the other one says nothing, suggests the Gemara, idea. That lack of saying anything is an admission that it's not his. And therefore, it should certainly belong only to the person whose talis who's holding on to the talis. Vi the katsavach, and if the person from whom the talis was taken is standing and screaming and saying that I was holding on to this talis and this other person took it away from him. So if that's what happened, might have a little method. Why is there? What do we want? Why should he not be entitled? He's saying that this other person took it away from me, and therefore the halacha ought to look at this situation. Explained the mefarshim as if it's still shnayim oichsin betalis. Says the Gemara. The case that we're speaking about is the shosik. Originally he was quiet. The shosik mikara. Originally he was quiet. V'had v'tzavach. And then he started making, and then he started to complain. And there's a machloikus rishonim. What does the mean mikara? That he was first quiet and then lipsoif. The opinion of the Ritva is that mikara means at the time that it was actually taken from him, he was quiet, and immediately after that during the actual seizing, he was quiet, but immediately afterwards, he started saying something. But the Ra'ah says, Shtika Mikara means that not that you would, when the Gemara says Tzavach, it doesn't mean that you would Tzavach later, even though, as the Ritva says, later means right away. But rather, he explains that the definition of Tzavach is that while the first person grabbed it from you, at that moment that he grabbed it from you, you were quiet, but while he was still trying to take from you, you already started to say something. However, the Ritva doesn't like that pshat, because the Ritva says, if that's pshat in this Gemara, then it's not mikara ulupsaif. If while he was taking it from you, you already said something, we can't call that a situation of mikara ulupsaif. And therefore, the Ritva says that his pshat, that it means that you complained immediately afterwards, must be what the Gemara means. So again, Leitzricha the Shosk Mikari was quiet at the beginning, v'had the Tzavach, and then he started saying something. Mai, do we say, mid the Shosk, mid the Ishtik, since he was originally quiet, Adir Dele, it's clearly an indication that he's admitting that it's not mine. Adilma, maybe we could say, Kivin the Katzavach Hashta, since he's immediately, the way especially we're learning with Ritva, he's saying right away that he's saying something. Igloi Milsa, that is a proof. The high the shosk mikara, that he was originally quiet, was not because he was saying, I admit that it's not mine, but rather his attitude was, the reason I don't have to say anything is because hakasavar hakachazal rabbanon, we have edim, we have the bezdin seeing what's going on, and since they see what's going on, I don't have to say anything, that they know themselves that what's going on here is unacceptable. So we learned at the beginning of a Masechta, Shnaim Oichs Metalis, and each one claimed that he found the talis first. So we learned that the halacha is that we divide the garment between the two parties. Now we're learning that if Reuven seizes the garment from Shimon in court, and Shimon remains silent, his silence is it meant to be an admission that Reuven is the true owner. Now, ask the Gemara, what would be the halacha if he didn't say anything? If he didn't say anything, don't we say that his initial admission what we assumed was his initial admission should not be considered an admission, or should we say that initial admission still is here? Says the Ramban, that let's say this took place outside of court, then, as we just explained, everybody would agree that Shimon's initial silence should be an admission. The only time we could say that perhaps Shimon's initial admission is not considered an admission is because this was taking place in front of Beis Din. And since it was taking place in front of Beis Din, that's why the person could say, well, I didn't say anything because I was relying on Beis Din that they saw what was going on. But if it wasn't taking place in front of Beis Din, he doesn't have that explanation. And therefore, the fact that he was quiet clearly, says the Ramban, is an indication that it was an admission. The Rashba disagrees. And he says, when something happens outside of court, that's when a person doesn't protest. Who am I protesting? What am I protesting? There's nobody to protest in front of. So there we could perhaps say the fact that he was quiet doesn't mean anything. But if it was in Beis Din, where he believes that Beis Din has the ability to do something, so if Beis Din could do something, why didn't you say something? So the Gemara has this question. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Toshma. The Braisa speaks about the case that we've been speaking about. Shnaim Oichsim Betalis. That they should divide the talis and make a shvua, says the Braisa. But medva mamurim sheshnei madukim. Where was this halacha said when they're both holding on to the talis? Aval haysu tachs yod metachs yod shalechem. If one of them is holding on the talis, there the halacha is throughout Shas. How much mechaver olaver raya? Says the Marhechi Dami. Exactly what is the case that the Braisa is referring to? In emikriktani, where somebody walks into the Beis Din, holding on to the talis. And I'm claiming that I own part of this talis. Of course, the halach is hamotzi mechaveroi olav rai pshita, that is the halacha. Elo, it must be, the case is, like we're learning now, the case that Reb Zeira is questioning, shetak for achab b'faneinu, and we have a raya that the Brice is teaching us, that even in such a case, we apply the concept of hamotzi mechaveroi olav raya. Says Merloi, that is not the way to explain the Brisa, and therefore we won't have an answer to Reb Zeira's kasha. Says the Gemara, Hochamai Skinen, the Brice is speaking about a situation, they come in front of us, both holding on to this talus. And as we've been learning from the beginning of Masechta, Bezdin tells them, divide this talus. And that's how they leave Bezdin. And now, and now they return to Bezdin, with one of them holding on to the talus. Hi, one says, Omar Oydidili, when we left Bezdin, he admitted to me that the entire talus belongs to me. V'hai Omar, b'demei agarti nahale. I rented him my share of the talus, but not that I admitted to him in any way that the talus belongs to him. D'amrinale, so we say to this person who's making this claim, at hash the chashad le'begazlan. Till now you were saying, you were claiming that this person is a gazlan. He took half your talus. The hashtag doesn't make any sense that you rented to him below Sade and you have no witnesses. And therefore, the halach is that won't be a good reason. Says the Maravi Bai Seima, another way to explain the Braisa, Kiriktani, Dasle Kamon Kitovsle Chadmanayu. One of them is holding on to it. One of them is holding on to it, Vidach, and the other one, Misrach Besruche, is not really holding on to it. He's trying to hold on to it, says the Gemara. And now that's the question, says the Gemara. A filo Sumchus, even though Sumchus' opinion throughout Shas, going back to the beginning of the Masechta, on that base that we learned, that Shmuel says that Maman Amut B'Safek Cholkim, B'loi Shvua, here, Shmuel Sumchus will agree. The Sirchalaf Klumi. The fact that he's just holding on to it, and he's not really holding on to it in a very strong way, then the halacha is that even Sumchus agrees that it's not his. So our Gemara just introduced a moment ago that if we were Bezna Paskind that those talus should be divided. And now we find one of them having the entire talus. He claims because I was married to him, and I claim because I rented to him. The Gemara says it's unlikely that a person who I think is a ganef, I would rent something to him. And the Rambam paskins I won't believe to say that Reuven took the entire talus. Says the Ritva, the Gemara is considered obvious that we can't accept a person to say that. Because we have no reason to say a person a ganef. Rashba disagrees, and he says that if that's what I claim, that's what happened, then I am believe. Says the Pnei Yeshua, even though throughout Shas there is a concept, we just don't believe when somebody says that somebody else is a ganef. Here it's different. Because here we're speaking about a case where from the beginning I'm claiming that this person is being dishonest. Because from the beginning I'm saying that this person has a talus of mine that he's not supposed to have. And therefore, even though in other places there's a concept of achsuki inch beganve loy machsakinon, here we would not say that. Continues the Gemara. Imtem Tzolaymer. Says the Gemara, Imtem Tzolaymer, even if we'll say that, if we're going to try to say, in answering Reb Zeira's question, V'talka echad b'faneinu, where one of them grabbed in front of us, Matzinas miyadai, that we take it and we divide it, what would be the halacha hegdisha? Let's say one of them was magdashit, enem kadeshis. The halacha will be that kedush, that act of hegdish, would not be valid. Imtem tzolaima, And just like his grabbing in front of us would be irrelevant, the fact that he was magdashit would also be irrelevant. Furthermore, says the Gemara, if in front of us one of them snatched the entire talus, the halacha is, we let him have it. What's going to be the halacha hagdisha if he was magdashit, but without snatching it? Mahu, what will be the halacha? And the Gemara explains its question. Since we have a rule that when somebody, that even though halacha always requires a kinyan, by hegdish, as soon as you pled something, it's considered as if you did a kinyan. So what will be the halacha here? Is the fact that this person was magdish the whole talus, is it equal to command the tuk for dummy? Because the Gemara introduced the concept that by hegdish, words count. And he didn't do so. He didn't take possession of the entire talus. And the Torah teaches us the ksiv, and the Torah says, regarding being magdish something, v'ish es ki agdish es beis ha-kodesh. From here we learn, ma beis ha-brishusoy, your home is under your control. A karka, we know, is always in an exelis. Af kol dover b'rishusoy, everything that you want to be magdish has to be under your control. L'fuki hai de'alai b'rishusoy. Even though Amir al-Gavai from Yisras l'hajit, it doesn't have that level. I saw that the Sefer Gan Yosef explains a pidrush, Amiras l'gvoya k'misras l'hedyet. If somebody wants to say Amiras l'gvoya, if somebody says Adva Torah, then the halacha is that he, if it wants to be successful, the halacha is it should be k'misras l'hedyet. It should be with Mesiris Nefesh. A person who's giving a shir, a person who's saying Adva Torah, should recognize the enormity of what he's doing, and that's the way he should present it. Why indeed is the halacha amiras l'gvoy k'misras l'hedyet? So the Mefarshim say a very simple but very important pshat. The halacha is the why, as we often learn in Shas, does a transaction, does a transfer of assets always require a kinyan? Because what a kinyan accomplishes is that we have a level of seriousness, a level of gemiras das. When you do a kinyan, you're showing that this is a true transaction, that there's a real seriousness here. So that's when two people are doing a transaction between themselves. When two people are doing a transaction between themselves, the only way we can be confident that there is true seriousness here is with a kinyan. But in a case where I'm giving something to Hegdish, when I'm giving to something to Hegdish, it's obvious that there is a seriousness here. And since there's a seriousness, that's why it's already considered an automatic kinyan. The pasuk says, Kisidar neder l'shem alakecha. The pasuk continues, l'sach l'shalmai. Then the pasuk says, Maitzis v'secha tishmar, v'sisa kashanadat l'shem alakecha, the darta, the dovash and the darta beficha, kidorish yidrushen Hashem lekecha imach. And the pasuk is saying, kidorish yidrushen Hashem imach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask you, you made a commitment, why didn't you keep the commitment? And the question is, why does the Torah have to say it? So I saw that Dubna Magid says that it's based on our Gemara. Because what the pasuk is speaking about, that all he did was, is that he just made a pledge. So maybe we should consider it not like a real obligation. Tells us the pasuk that as soon as you make a pledge to Hegdish, amiras l'gavaya k'misras l'hedyet, it's considered very serious. And since it's considered very serious, you have to honor it. And if not, darish yidrushenu Hashem imach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask, why did you not honor your pledge? Toshma, says the Gemara. The Gemara still has this question that Reb Zeira posed. The he masusa. There was a bathhouse. The v'mintzalei betrei. The two people arguing over the ownership of this bathhouse. Hayam de dihu. This one said it belongs to me. Hayam de dihu. And the other one said it belongs to me. Kam chad menayu. And one of them came, went, and agdashit was magdashit. Parshmenei, Rav Chananya, Rav Oish, v'kol Rabbanon. All of the Rabbanon stayed. They stayed away from it, from using it. Amalei Rashi Rabba, Ki Azal Kamei, Rav Chizdal Kafri. When you go to visit Rav Chizdal Kafri, Boimenei, ask of him. Ki Asal Sura, when came to Sura, Amalei Rav Hamnuna, Masnisenhi. What's the halacha? Says the Gemara. He said, Masnisenhi. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Masechta Tahara speaks about Sofk Bechairis. We know that the Bechor Behema is given to the Kohen. What's the halacha if we have an animal, if we're not sure if it's a Bechor or not? The halacha is that Moitzi Mechavera Olavaraya. On one hand, it's considered Kaddush, it has the Kaddush of Bechaira. On the other hand, it's treated with the Kohen can't take it, then the halacha is that the Hamas Mechaveir Olav Araya. And therefore, Ech Bechor Adam, when there's a question about the Bechor status of something, whether it's a human Bechor, Ech Bechor Behema, whether it's a Behema, Bein Tahirim, whether it's a kosher animal, whether it's Tameim, the halacha is that a Chamor, a Bechor Petach Chamor, is Kaddish, that you have to redeem it with a sheep and give the sheep to the Kohen. And all of these questions that we have a question on the Bechaira, that means the mother of them had miscarried. And we're not certain if what the miscarried child, the miscarried animal, was it already considered an animal, was already considered a baby, and therefore the next one is not a Bechar, or maybe it is a Bechar. In all these cases, the halacha is Hamotz Mechavera Olav Araya, that the Kohen has no right to make a demand for it because he can't prove definitively that it's a Bechor. But on the other hand, V'tanei Allah Asar B'Gizah B'Avoida, we have to treat it with the Kedusha of Bechor, an animal that's a Bechor, you're not allowed to shear the wool, you're not allowed to work with it. Now the Gemara makes its point. V'hocha, in the case of the Sof Bechor, Domar, that the Tana over there teaches us, talk for Kohen, that if the Kohen grabbed it, even though we just learned that the Kohen really has no right to take it, the halacha is if the Kohen does take it, we don't take it back. And the halacha is why? Because Olav Haraya. So just like when the Kohen wants to take it from the Yisrael, he has no right to take it because of the concept of Amoitz Mechaveroi Olav Haraya. Vice versa, the Yisrael can't take it from the Kohen. V'chiloi toch Kohen, and when he didn't grab it, still asur megizah b'avoda. So we see that if somebody will seize it, and then the second one will be quiet, and afterwards he'll say something, we can't take it away. And we also see that if he's magdish it, it will be a valid hegdish. So to hear, if someone will be magdish it, it should be a valid hegdish. Answers Rabbah, the comparison is no good. Amalei Rabbah, Kedushas Bechor Kamrit, you're trying to bring a raya from Kedushas Bechor. Loyalam Aymalach, Takva Koy Metzin Osubiyodai. You take it back. He had no right to seize it. Vafil Hachi, Asur Megizah Avoida, because you can't bring a raya from that Hegdish, because that's a Kedusha Ba Me'ilov. It's not that I was Magdashit. It's automatically Hegdish if it's a Bechor. And since it's automatically a Hegdish, because it's a Bechor, you can't compare it to any other type of Hegdish. Amalei Rav Chananya L'Rav Tanya D'Masailach, I'll bring you a raya that if a Kohen, if there's a Sofek Bechor and a Kohen seizes it, it's meaningless. Because the Braisa teaches us, Hasfekis. If you have, we spoke a moment ago about a Bechor Petach Chamor that has to be redeemed with a Seh. And let's say we have a number of such of sheep, that you had a number of Sofek Petach Chamors, and you redeemed them all. So now, how do we treat all of these sheep? The halach is that we know every year we have to give Maisa Behema. From all the newborn animals, we have to take off one animal from every 10 and give it as Maisa Behema. So the halach is, Nichnos L'Dayer, you could take these animals together with all your other animals, L'Sasher. Says the Gemara, If the kohen holds on to it, it's his. So that means it's hegdish. So mayin nechnasim l'der. Why can it be combined with the other animal? Because if this animal really is considered belonging to the kohen, that means it has the kedusha on it. The animals from which you have to take maisa behema are only animals that don't have kedusha on them. An animal that has kedusha on it doesn't have a chiyuv maisa. And if you're going to combine it together with the other animals, then you're going to have a problem of nimtzezeb paito manish kohen, that animal is going to be combined and may even be the animal that's designated to be the meister animal when it's really the kohen's animal. Amalei Abaya, imishim ha. That is, so from here we must see that it doesn't become the kohen's, and therefore it could be combined with the other animals. Says the Amalei Abaya, imishim ha. If this is the raya you're trying to establish, loy tesai lema, that's not a good raya. Hakamai skinen. Here we're speaking about a case, kigoin de lesle elatisha. The Yisrael only owns 9 sheep. For who? And this is the 10th sheep. And now let's think about it, says the Gemara. Meman of shach. Ibachayuvahu. If this animal, this 10th animal, the sheep that we use to redeem on a sophic petachamor, is not kadosh because it wasn't petach hamor. So now we have perfect shabakamasa vila bar chiyuva because it was indeed the serve the petach hamor tisha la basurinenu. There's no chiyuva meiser altogether. So even if I'll end up taking one and treating it as meiser, there's no downside because if it is obligated in meiser, so this is perfect. And if it's not, I gave an animal away. Hadar mabaya. But then Abai said, Lav Mel Sadamri. What I just said is actually incorrect. The Sveik Labar Surihi. Abai introduces a new concept. Any animal that is a suffix, if it's chayiv and maisa or not, cannot be combined for maisa. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masech Bechor Staf Nun Ches Omebeis teaches us that if there were animals and the way maisa is taken, that the animals are go through a door, and every 10th animal we mark as the meiser animal. Kofetz echad min amenuyim. And one of the animals that already passed through, jump back in to those animals that weren't counted, kulam paturim. We won't do meiser. Because since amongst these animals, there's an animal that went through, then that animal cannot be recombined. Now, says the Gemara, v'sal kedatach. If we're going to say, Sveikahu, if there's a suffix, if it's chayiv a maisa or not, by a suri, we have to take maisa anyway. So why in this case, lesser? Why won't we be able to do this over? And use a similar mamon of shach that the Gemara used a moment ago. Dibachayuvahu, if the 10th animal that came out is indeed the 10th animal, fantastic. Shapa maisa. Vilav bachayuvahu, if it's not, nifta b'minyan aroyim. Because there were other animals, and whenever it could be possible that it'll be chayv meiser, even though it wasn't, they're still considered a valid meiser. Why? Dama Rava, because Rava teaches us, minyan haroi, if you count the numbers, paita, it could exempt all the others. What is the case? Somebody had 10 animals, and he counted 5, and he didn't finish the process, which of course we just said, the procedure is, you're supposed to let all 10 animals out, and then mark the 10th animal. What happened here was, he started with 10 animals, counted 5, and he didn't have an opportunity to finish with the other 5, until one of the remaining 5 died. So now, we don't have 10. We only have 9 animals. Those 5 animals that were counted when we did have 10 animals we don't have to take mice for them again. Because the halacha is, minyan haroi, if when they were counted properly, paiter. What about the other 4? If they will have babies until the time for the Maisa season ends, then the halacha they can be counted. So Chazal said, because the Tosuk says, Kosher Yaver Taksa Shavit Hasiri Yekodesh Lashem Ashiyaver, only what didn't go through, what went through cannot be recounted. So says Abaya, Amas L'chmeimer, how do we have to learn? The Torah, when it speaks about Maiser, Asiri Vade Om Rahman, the Torah said only what's definitely number 10, V'lo Asiri Sofik. Hachanami, here too, in the case where you have these different animals that get together, you can't combine them because Asiri Vade Om Rahman V'lo Asiri Sofik, and therefore they may not be combined. So Tosfos asks, if we had such a situation where one of the animals jumped back in, why doesn't it become bottle? And Tosfos says that that's included in what we just learned, that the aloch is a sirah vadai, that there's a new din, that a sirah vadai becomes, could be used for maisa, v'loy a sirah sofik. Moreover, since it's an animal, and the aloch is that an animal is considered a dava chashiv, and since an animal is considered a dava chashiv, That's why it doesn't become bottle. There's a question here. We're talking about a siri vadai. There's a question, especially for us in Chutz Laretz, that we keep 2 days yontif. And the reason why we keep 2 days yontif is because sfeika de yoimer. We're not exactly sure with the calendar what day is what day. So the question is, can we count 2 days sfira because of sfeika de yoimer? Or even not in that case, if a person is not certain what today is in the count of the Omer, can he count both days? Misafik, and say, if today, I'm not sure if today's day number 5 or day number 6, I should count with a Safik. So he said, the Paiskim say that you can't do so. Because when the Torah teaches us the Aloch of Sfira, the Torah says you have to count every day that day. From here we learn that Asiri Vadai V'loy Asiri Sofik. Just same thing, when you count the Sfira, you have to count definitively that today is the day of the Sfira. And if you're not sure, then and you count 2 days, or if it would be the same because you're doing it B'Sfeika D'Yoimer, it would not be a proper fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sfira.